Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Teresa Walker of the Associated Press, now a four-time Tennessee Sports Writer of the Year. Teresa, thanks for joining us. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Robbie. And, yeah, no offense, Joe, but I do love winning when I get a chance to beat Mr. Joe Rexroth. So makes it a little sweeter.
Oh, I was hoping you'd take a shot. That was great.
Well,
oh,
it was
a landslide.
Right over the plate.
I'm doofus of the year. You're sports writer of the year.
You'll get no arguments from me on that standpoint. Teresa, we've been talking a lot about the Titans and obviously some decisions they're going to have to make this offseason. And Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, and Jayon Brown come to mind as three really big ones. And it's been interesting to see Titans fans and how they prioritize that. We threw out a poll question yesterday, and it was all really close with Corey Davis getting the slight edge in terms of the highest priority. If you had to rank those three, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, and Jayon Brown, in terms of priority to re-sign if you're John Robinson and the Titans, how would you go about answering that?
I'm probably going to go with Corey Davis. I mean, this is a guy who was a first-round pick, and he turns in a career year. You know, he gets a off-season surgery. He's healthy and turns in an incredible year in a tough year. I mean, he loses his brother and then has a child in December. I mean, it was as crazy as 2020 was. He may have experienced the highs and lows more than most people. But, you know, Jonnu Smith is right there at like 1B. I mean, it's tough to find tight ends, period, these days. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, when he's not being, you know, needed to help block more, he's a guy who makes some serious plays and opens up so much. Here's the thing. My theory is one thing that might help the Titans, get rid of Adam Humphries. I mean, this is a guy who's been limited. He played seven games this year. He was still in the concussion protocol at the end of the season, according to Mike Vrabel. And, it was an unfortunate hit in the Cincinnati game. But with 2 years left on his deal, and he's played 19 of the possible 32 regular season games, that may be a move that helps make the others a little bit easier. Jayon Brown, you know, guys looking at, spot rack and stuff, they don't even have a market value on Jayon Brown, which is interesting considering when he was injured, he was the leading tackler on this team, and it was obvious to Titans fans how important he is to this team.
Yeah, I wonder with Humphries. I mean, I agree. I think that's one of the places you look on, you know, on cost cutting. I mean, I wonder about his future, you know, given – really, we're talking about a hit that was more than 2 months ago, and we saw him briefly after that. And, you know, obviously more and more guys are making decisions, you know, for long-term health there too. So I agree. I think that's a real possibility, Teresa. On the D coordinator front, I know our friend Mike Vrabel said basically like we made a big deal out of this, and it wasn't a big deal, but I mean, I guess then why ever give anybody a title? What do you think? Where do you think that goes? You think that he brings someone in, gives Shane Bowen the title, takes away all the titles, and they're all just random coaches, and we just have to guess what they're all coaching? Where do you think D coordinator goes for this franchise?
Well, Joe, looking at the defense, it's easy to argue that, you know, guess what? When Dean Pease was coordinator, he was coordinator. He wasn't also coaching a different, a specific position group. Shane Bowen was also coaching the outside linebackers and calling the plays on defense and, you know, putting together the schemes. It was doable. It just wasn't, you know, the results on the field didn't show that maybe it was working. So, at this point, what I think Vrabel should do, hire, you know, if Bowen's his guy, make him your D coordinator, but hire somebody to coach the outside backers. Allow Shane Bowen to just devote his attention to that part of the game. And you know, I still think that a bigger part of the issue on defense is just they need more players. They need better players. I mean, the pass rush guys, going into the final game at Houston, they had 15 sacks. Dead last in the NFL. We saw it all season. You know, what we saw in Houston and against the Ravens with, what was it, 9 sacks combined, that was an anomaly. That was not what we saw the entire season. So, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know what clicked specifically in those two games. I thought in Houston is the fact that, well, it's Houston. They've got a horrible offensive line. I mean, I could probably sack Deshaun Watson because, you know, he doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins anymore. He doesn't have any help down there. But, you know, against the Ravens, that was a little bit more impressive. But, you know, why didn't they do it the rest of the year? So, you know, the Clowney move, the Beasley move, absolutely crapped out with no sacks between them. So, you know, get some better personnel. That's going to be incumbent on John Robinson to improve that position this offseason. But, you know, give your guy time to do the job and to do it right. You know, Arthur Smith is not also coaching tight ends when he was offensive coordinator. So name him, pay him, and you know, don't overload him.
Teresa Walker from the Associated Press on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Teresa, let's get into the Isaiah Wilson situation, because obviously it was a disaster this year. A first-round pick, never saw the field in a meaningful snap, and off the field at times has just been an absolute headache. And, you know, they come out and put him on the, you know, the non-football reserve list, and you're thinking, okay, maybe he's going through some things. And then over the holidays, the videos come out of him down in Miami and partying and just all the different things that have gone on with Isaiah Wilson. I realize he's a first-round pick, and I realize that you've got a lot invested in that guy. But how close do you think the Titans are to just punting and moving on from that? How much patience do you think they should have with Isaiah Wilson as they move forward here?
Well, Robbie, they've got to have patience for at least another offseason. He is a first-round pick. And, you know, let's face it, they didn't get much of anything from their entire first round rookie class this year. You know, the virtual off season, you know, it was a challenge, and, you know, it helped if you had a veteran team. The veterans on the Titans handled it better than these rookies. And, you know, sometimes that routine, guys go from college to pro, and, you know, that's where it helps to have the off season program to work these guys into, you know, to being professionals. And, you know, with not having that, doing only virtual, it certainly didn't do them any help. Now, the way the pandemic's going, they may not have a you know, and J.C. Treader, the president of the players' union, says, you know what, it worked really well, play was good, everything was fine, let's do this more in the future. But, you know, you can look at the Titans rookie class and say, they need something. But you've got to be patient with Isaiah Wilson and see if, you know, if he can, you know, with a few more months, grow up, maybe get him some, you know, some attention, counseling, advice. But, yeah, at a certain point, if he's not showing signs of getting it in 2021, they're going to have to move on. You can't waste that roster spot that much longer. So are we getting close? Yeah. Is it tomorrow? No way, no how. Later in 2021? Possible.
Yeah. I mean, they've got, you know, you got to hear from him too. You know, that's the thing that we don't know is the discussions. But, man, at some point, there better be a pretty severe mea culpa and a vow that you actually care about this stuff, or maybe that speeds up the clock. But I agree. I mean, you invest that kind of draft capital in someone, you can't afford to move on and then watch him all of a sudden grow up and become a good player somewhere else, and you're just left holding the bag. But that's going to be real interesting. Teresa, I wanted to switch quickly to the Preds. I mean, you cover everything. You write about everything. You're all over the state. Are you excited about hockey coming? And what do you think about this team? You know, reduced expectations, trying to be grittier. And what do you think? What do you think this team could do?
Well, I need to see it, Joe. I mean, is the potential there? Absolutely. But we've known that, and you know, that's what's made the last, you know, ever since the Stanley Cup Final in 2017, they've been going the wrong direction. You know, keep us together, keep us together, and yet they weren't doing what they said they could do if you kept them together. And when you look at the production, you know, yes, it was a weird season this last year with the pause, the resumption. But when you look at the key guys, Forsberg, Johansson in particular, Duchesne, Arvidsson, they just did not produce the way they had in previous years. It was a backslide. So they all have room for improvement. In this. If they play up to their talent, they're absolutely a team that can compete. And maybe, you know, being – no one's counting them. No one's picking them to win the division. No one's got them near the top of the odds to win the Stanley Cup Final. That might be something that helps them. But as John Hines said, you know, the day they were starting to getting ready to open up training camp, they got to get rid of the gap between their say and their do. And, you know, the way I put it is they need a little less conversation. And, you know, it is time for them to actually show us what they can do and quit talking about it. If they can do that, this is a team that is capable. I mean, we've seen they have lots of success in the last couple of years against Tampa Bay Lightning. By the way, Stanley Cup final winners. So, you know, let's just see what they can do. But they're going to have to show me. I'm tired of listening to it. I need to see them go out in there and play. Now, the problem is, goalie situation is going to be, you know, we got to see what's happening. Pekka thinks he can do a bounce back season. He's also 38. That makes it more challenging. Saros, you know, can they play better defense in front of both of them and help them both, you know, have better years? You know, yeah, it's possible. But again, I need to see them do that. In a 56 game schedule, how they play every game is absolutely going to matter. They can't take periods off, let alone games.
A little less conversation, a little more action. Well done, Teresa. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Teresa, great stuff. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Thank you so much, Robbie and Joe.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Teresa had to say there about Isaiah Wilson. How close are the Titans to shutting the door and moving on from Isaiah Wilson? We'll get your reaction to that next on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And make sure you're tuning in this hour for the cue to call for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Preds season opener against the Columbus Blue Jackets at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night. We'll be giving those away and in your opportunity all day long here on ESPN 1025 The Game. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porath here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking about Isaiah Wilson and the Titans. And look, obviously, I mean, it was just a disaster of a first season for Isaiah Wilson and the Titans. Did not see the field for a meaningful snap. Did get on there briefly, I believe, in the Colts game after that game was well out of hand. And you look around between, you know, obviously the stuff to begin the year with COVID, being at the apartment. I didn't think that was that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things in a normal year. Obviously, we're not even talking about that. But then the DUI thing happens, and that's obviously unacceptable and something that you can't deal with if you're a franchise. It's just frustration after frustration. He finds his way back on the COVID list, gets on the non-football reserve list, and you're thinking to yourself, all right, well, the Titans need to get this guy some help. They need to be in a situation here where you're proactive and you're getting this guy as much help as he can need, because it's obvious, I think, at the time, he's struggling. He's not adapting to playing in the NFL and living the life of a professional athlete as well as we thought he could and we thought that he would. And then videos come out over the holidays that he's in Miami, he's partying, he's got the money in his hand. He's around all these different people while the Titans, the season is still going on. They're still on the field and playing. And that left a lot of Titans fans just saying, it's time to move on from this guy. So, Joe, as you look at Isaiah Wilson, recognizing that he is a first-round pick, that in college, I mean, it's pretty obvious to see the talent that he has and how good of a player he could be in the NFL. How do you balance that if you're the Titans at this point? Because I look at the Titans, I listen to some of the comments, and you can tell that there's frustration that's built up there, kind of reading between the lines.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was a major change. You go through everything. Teresa brought up a good point. You know, you got this weird off season, probably hurts rookies more than anything.
Sure.
You don't have the same, you know, you don't have the same just even interaction to sort of get to know your teammates and stuff. You know, I mean, you have some of it, but it's a lot different. You don't have all those things in the spring that a lot of that is about just getting used to your environment and everything. But again, you know, the other rookies on this team didn't have the problems he did. But go through all of it. You make a mistake. A DUI is that's serious stuff, you know. But even at that point, I was like, okay, obviously this guy is struggling with the situation. You know, they gotta help him. They gotta mentor him, you know, and they've gotta work with him. And he's a first round pick, and you have to, it's a big investment. But to me, the video from Miami. That to me was like a boy. I don't know. That changed the way I look at it. Maybe some people were already out on him or whatever. But it's just you can't just be out on him. I mean, you have to understand that. You have to understand the investment and what it means to punt on a first round pick. But that when that came out, I was like, this is basically this guy, whether he is doing it consciously or not. This is basically him throwing a middle finger to everybody. You know. And at this point, you can't have that, and you gotta think differently about what his long term future could be in this league if he doesn't figure it out fast.
And you've got to wonder just how much this year has rubbed his teammates the wrong way. And Roger Saffold was asked about Isaiah Wilson earlier this week and just kind of what this process has been like with him watching him this year. Here's what Roger Saffold had to say:
I haven't talked to Isaiah. I think it might have been right before he left. I haven't talked to him since then, but I mean, let's be real. Being a young athlete, there are a lot of challenges that you go through. You can either handle it or you don't know how to handle it. And right now, the next decision for his future here, it all belongs to J-Rob, Coach Vrabel, and our staff. You know, we have a certain way that we do things here. We have a blue-collar mentality where, you know, you work and everything that you get, you earn. You know, sometimes the decision that you make, you have to live with the consequences.
So that was Roger Saffold talking about Isaiah Wilson. And look, I think it's pretty clear to see that, you know, there's some sympathy there of being a young athlete and maybe not knowing exactly what to do and how to respond to certain situations. But that Titans locker room is not going to put up with this for much longer. Like these veteran guys who they come in every day and they put in the blood and the sweat and the tears and everything that it takes to the grind to continue to get ready to play in an NFL season. And then you've got a guy out there doing stupid stuff like this with a DUI, and he's out in Miami just acting like he doesn't care. I mean, that's how that video came off to me. Is he's a guy out there, and he's, you know, he's making money now as a first-round pick, and it just seems like football may be the furthest thing from his mind. And I don't know Isaiah Wilson. I've never talked to the guy. I have no idea what's inside his head. But the way that video came out to me in Miami, him out there partying, is – he couldn't care less about football. He's all about, you know, living the life and partying right now. And if that's going to be the case, if you're the Titans, I'm not putting up with that a whole lot longer. I know he's a first-round pick, and I know that there's an investment in that. But if you make it clear that you don't want to be a part of things and that football is not very important to you, at some point, if you're the Titans, you just got to eat it and move on.
Yeah, the comments from teammates, and it's been mostly very careful, as you would expect. No one's going to come out here in one of these interviews and say, this kid's a disaster. But that comment from Saffold, I definitely sat up and took notice. You know, you got to figure it out. And, you know, some people don't figure it out. I mean, I think back to a Taylor Lewan comment from, you know, way back, basically saying to paraphrase him, because I don't have the quote in front of me, but basically, like, he needs to come to us, you know? He needs to reach out. Now, I also think it's on them to go to him, but I have no doubt that that's happened. And I don't know if it's been outright rejected, but obviously nothing has resonated with him. Go back to the A to Z Sports report, which, again, I thought was cowardly and weak, but it's still – you're talking about people in that building willing to trash him, you know, to a reporter, you know, without using their name. Again, I think that's weak, but it means something too. When you talk about this entire situation, it means something that someone was willing to do that. I mean, these guys are clearly frustrated with him, as well they should be. So if you lose, you know, offensive line room, I always look at that as kind of like I think a lot of teams, that's the tightest room. You know, I feel like it's a big group of people, obviously, and big group of big people. And I feel like that's a room that usually is strong on a good team. I feel like this team has a good, strong offensive line group and room. And if they can't reach Isaiah Wilson, who can?
Did you find it telling that Roger Saffold kind of went out of his way to bring up Isaiah Wilson's future? And be like, it's up to John Robinson and Mike Vrabel to decide whether he's back, and we have a way of doing things. I found that to be telling, maybe how that locker room and specifically that offensive line room might feel about whether or not he should come back.
That's an interesting way to look. I mean, I think I kind of looked at that as just a lot of times when guys are asked about other guys, they kind of defer like, yeah, that's John. That's my, you know, like we ask all these guys about D coordinator and they're like, yeah, you know, that's those guys. But yeah, maybe there's something to that. I mean, I think these guys have got, you know, they look at things differently than we do, obviously, right? Like these guys on a football team, I mean, like everybody knows if someone was a first round pick and what that means, it means something. If you're an undrafted free agent, okay, you have a lot less security. But still, I mean, you have to earn your keep in these situations. And so, like, when a Luan goes down and they're like, yeah, next man up, you know? And of course, we're like, yeah, but you just lost a Pro Bowl left tackle. And they're like, well, I know how Tyson Brailo works, or I know how David Questenberry works. I watch him every day. He, you know, he earns it, and there's respect, and we believe he can do the job. And it seems like it's the opposite with Isaiah Wilson, right? As you would expect based on everything we know. But it sounds like that also is translating to what he's doing, what he was doing on a daily basis with this team. So I think Isaiah Wilson's at the least has got a lot of proof to these guys, you know, moving forward. I mean, there's a lot of apologies to make and a lot of demonstration of, you know, willingness to work ahead for him if he wants to stick in this league. It's just amazing to me that you wouldn't understand how much money you're throwing away if you continue down this path.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, the Titans need to cut Isaiah Wilson sooner rather than later. The longer he's on this roster, the worse he makes the franchise look from an outside perspective. And Joe, you're going to hear a lot of that about Isaiah Wilson, and the Titans just need to go ahead and move on. And we know they're probably not going to do that right now, but how close do you think that they are in terms of the patience level from John Robinson and Mike Vrabel? Like, if you get into the early part of next season and you haven't seen any improvement, are they willing before the season starts to just cut bait? Like, how much leash do you think Isaiah Wilson still has left with this team and with this franchise?
Well, first of all, I'm going to reject the second part of that text, the idea that it looks worse and worse. Whatever, man. It's pro football. You know, it looks good winning. You know, it looks bad losing. And also what looks bad is, like I said earlier, you cut bait too early or whatever, and you get nothing for it, and then this guy figures it out, and your first-round pick is being a first-round pick caliber tackle for somebody else. I'm not saying I expect that at this point, but you better be awfully sure from every angle of this that there's no future for him. But what it looks like to the outside is irrelevant. I mean, you've invested a first round pick in someone to be your right tackle for 10 years. You know, that's what you've done. And so, I mean, you're just trying to manage a roster here and have the best possible football team that you can. That's what looks good. To your question, Robbie, I mean, I do think that what we saw over New Year's Eve, I mean, that changes my mindset on the time frame. I think it could be sooner rather than later. I mean, this has got to be a complete mea culpa, you know, hat in hand. I figured it out and I want to work and let's go. And if it's anything short of that from him, then I think you're looking at ways. I mean, you know, this could be a contract dispute situation too with him. There's a lot of ways this could go, but it could be fast.
And I will say this, like, we've talked about Mike Vrabel and his press conferences this week and how a lot of times he just doesn't say anything or dismisses a question. I did think the question that I guess he was asked by Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 was pretty telling in the way that he answered it. And he says, you know, quote, I can't comment on Isaiah. But the next part of the quote he says is, quote, I can't even begin to eloquently answer that for you. And I thought that was pretty telling in terms of how Vrabel feels about this situation and just where he's at right now with Isaiah Wilson is, you know, I can't even begin to eloquently answer what's going on with him and what his future looks like.
Yeah. I mean, no, I agree that was kind of telling. I mean, it's pure frustration. How could it not be in that building and uncertainty over what's happening? Again, what we don't know is the contact, the discussions. It's, you know, different situation, but you go back to like Vic Beasley coming in, how weird that was. And it's like, wait, does this guy want to play? What's going on? Didn't turn out well. I mean, right now, yeah, and I can say this too. I mean, Isaiah Wilson, from a media perspective, there have been a lot of efforts, I'd say probably from every outlet, to try to figure out what's going on,
yeah,
to try to write about him, to try to see if he'd talk. He has been totally unwilling to talk, which again just speaks to right now, it's like there's just no accountability on his end. And so I don't know where it's going, but I think that answer from Vrabel is you're right. That's, I mean, they're just, they don't know either. And so how long can you not know and just hope that things are going to work out?
We'll continue to get your reaction to Isaiah Wilson and the situation going on right now with the Titans. How patient should the Titans be? At what point should you move on from Isaiah Wilson? Let us know at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And could the long-term answer at right tackle already be in the building for the Titans? We'll discuss that as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Predator centerman Matt Duchene will join us to begin the 9 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that conversation coming up with him in a little bit less than 30 minutes, so make sure that you're tuned in for that. And Joe, right now discussing Isaiah Wilson and what his future looks like with the Tennessee Titans. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fred from Ashland City texts in and says, if the dude can play football and not drive drunk, he can go party in as many clubs and boats and throw as much money around as he wants. I've seen way worse players in this league get away with a lot more. Joe, I hear what Fred's saying there. The problem is, we don't know if he can play football, not at this level. I mean, we have zero evidence whatsoever that Isaiah Wilson can or can't play football at the NFL level.
Right. Yeah, look, some of this stuff, like, okay, the first thing for Isaiah Wilson was just being at a party, which, again, in most times no one cares about, but we're in a pandemic, so you got to do different things. I mean, one basis of this whole season happening, and it's, hey, we just got through college football season, we're getting through the NFL playoffs, but one big fundamental part of that is guys have to behave differently. They have to resist going out all the time and doing all these things, because we're trying to, you're in a pandemic. I mean, you've got to try to keep people from getting the COVID-19 virus. So normally, like, I had sympathy for that. It's like, gosh, it's got to be tough, right? I mean, you're 21, you've just gotten this big first round contract. You're in a new city, this great city, and it's like sit in your room all day. So, like, there's sympathy for that. But then there's no sympathy for DUI ever, when, especially think about getting with that money. Like, but then you go to this last thing, like, after all that has gone on, and basically kind of like from the Titans, hey, let's give the guy some space. Let's have some sympathy for this guy. You know, we're going to try to help him and all this stuff without being specific, but hey, this is a young person. They're trying to get him on track. Okay. And then you see that video.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't play a snap that mattered this year. Again, if you're not in a pandemic and you've played and you're producing, no one gives a crap about you being on some boat with a stack of cash. No one cares, but that's not where we are right now. So that was, to me, was a thumbing your nose at everyone who was in your corner and saying, hey, let's give this young person some room. Let's figure it out. And then he does that. I mean, you have to feel smacked in the face if you're the people in the Titans building who have invested in him.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, is it possible he's going the Antonio Brown route and is just acting a fool to get cut because he doesn't want to play in Tennessee? I mean, I guess it's possible, but I just don't foresee that being the case. Like, if you're just now coming in the league and you haven't proven yourself literally at all, and you're trying to get yourself cut from a team, like, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. If that's the mentality, the Titans should just go ahead and move on right now. And I'd be careful, yeah, if I was any other team picking him up.
Yeah. The difference there is that Antonio Brown is a commodity. And obviously he eventually turned himself into a disaster who somehow is back in the league. But regardless, I mean, that's a guy who everybody in the league from a talent perspective would want. Who in the league right now would want Isaiah Wilson based on this? You can go back and watch his Georgia film, say, oh, yeah, I could see that. I mean, he is totally, hurting himself here. You know, I mean, so it's just that doesn't, I mean, I get, look, I can't get inside his head. So, I mean, I guess anything's possible, but that's a bad strategy if that's the case.
And it's interesting because you think back to the offseason, and I kind of raised my eyebrows anyway at the Isaiah Wilson pick just because we, it's not like pass rush is a new conversation. We talked about that heading into the draft last year here on the show, just about how important we thought getting a pass rusher was at that point. But you go with Isaiah Wilson, and you look at his tape at Georgia, and you think back to the player he was, and you're like, okay, well, maybe he's your starting right tackle by the end of the year, and you've got that position figured out for the next 8 to 10 years. Obviously, nobody saw it playing out like this, but I look now at right tackle specifically, and Dennis Kelly's there. He's only 30 years old. It's not like Dennis Kelly is ancient. It's not like he's got, you know, this long injury list. And you talk about the bad moves that John Robinson has made. One of the best moves he's made is that DGB for Dennis Kelly trade, who's come in and has played in just about every role they've asked him you could ask him to play so far at the tackle position for the Titans. So what did you think of Dennis Kelly's season this year? And could he be the long-term answer at right tackle? If he is, does that affect your timeline on Isaiah Wilson and how quickly you may be willing to move on?
Well, I know I can answer. I mean, I can answer that question from John Robinson's perspective by what he did with us, you know, in the draft, right? I mean, he answered that with the picking of Isaiah Wilson.
Right, but that was now, also before Dennis Kelly was a starting right tackle, and you had a 2,000-yard rusher, and the offensive line, I think he played pretty well this year.
No, I do too. I do too. And you're right, he's not ancient. I mean, he was banged up a lot this year, and he stuck it out. I think he's a, you know, obviously, just like a lot of guys on this team, he was really good in the locker room. Everybody likes him. He's a solid player. He's a solid pass protector. You know, I think you downgraded from Conklin to Kelly, but you certainly were fine there, and you obviously paid a lot less money for Kelly than you did for Conklin. I guess the question is, like, what is long-term? I mean, I think when you talk about this team's window, which is, if we're gonna define a window, I mean, it's Tannehill and Henry. Could he be a good right tackle for the next 2-3 seasons? I don't see why not. Now, you still have to have depth there, I think. I mean, again, the guy, he was hurt all year. Now, doesn't mean with a healthy offseason he could come back next year and have no issues, but I mean, I think you need more depth there. But obviously the plan was, you know, they obviously looked at Kelly as a stopgap, and they looked at Isaiah Wilson. To me, it's kind of like, okay, this is what we drafted in Conklin, the big masher. Okay, Conklin got away, didn't, you know, he went free agency. We didn't pick up his option. We weren't sure. He's gone, so we need the next masher, you know, for this offense, big physical athletic guy who's going to be the anchor there for a long time. That was obviously the thinking. If it's just a complete zero, do you just say, okay, you know what, we're good with Dennis Kelly, and we got to address outside linebacker, we got to address receiver, we got to address all those others? Probably. And you're probably, if you are just losing out on Isaiah Wilson and you don't feel like there's any way he's going to be a factor, you know, in the near term or maybe ever, you're probably just draft or signing depth, or maybe drafting depth later in the later rounds to give Dennis Kelly support. I don't see how you could possibly invest big again at that position anytime soon.
Right. Like, you're not going out and signing a high profile right tackle, or hopefully not spending another first round pick on a right tackle. But I do think it's interesting. Like, if the Titans go out in free agency and they sign a right tackle, albeit a backup at that point to Dennis Kelly, will that tell you anything about how they feel about Isaiah Wilson heading into the season? I mean, I think at this point it would probably make sense to do that just from an insurance standpoint. Like, if Dennis Kelly goes down next year, you've got to have somebody that can come in and play that position that you feel comfortable with. And I don't know how in the world you could feel comfortable about Isaiah Wilson right now. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Titans add more depth in that position this offseason, just because you can't bank on Isaiah Wilson at this point.
No, I agree. I mean, could a guy like Quessenberry flip over there? No, probably, you know, so you have some depth there, but I would not be surprised to see a depth signing. Now, I wouldn't you know, if they go, if they do a low price depth signing, I don't think that necessarily means, oh, there it is, Isaiah Wilson's done. But I think you got to protect yourself. I mean, how could you feel confident?
Right.
I mean, you still have to be hopeful if you're John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. You still have to be hopeful that he's going to figure it out. But you also have to protect your backside here.
When we come back, it's that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours. We throw out different scenarios, both sports and non-sports, and then debate on how we would respond to those. Always love your participation, too, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time for The Choice Is Yours. We throw out different scenarios, both sports and non-sports, and then we react. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes we look crazy, but it's always fun here on Robbie and Rex Road. Ryan Porth, you did a great job in the questions chair last week. Joe Rex Road, your time this week in the questions chair. So without further ado, Joe Rex Road, I turn things over to you.
All right, sports or non-sports?
Let's go non-sports.
Non-sports. All right. So you've got the FanDuel Sportsbook app out, and you are betting on the final three on The Bachelor.
Oh, boy.
You have to go all in, and I mean all in, on one of these three to win The Bachelor. Jared Stillman, Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell.
Oh.
Who are you going all in?
All right, I feel like I should start this because I actually watched The Bachelor.
Oh, God.
And I'm not ashamed of it.
You should be.
I am not ashamed of it.
Good for you.
This is 100% clearly Jared Stillman.
What?
100% clearly Jared Stillman. Because he would be able to trick a woman's mind into thinking that he was the one. Whereas Chase, nice guy, but the woman probably won't fall for his looks. And then Elijah is going to be a better person on social media. He's going to be like what grocery store Joe was a year or two ago.
Nobody knows who that is.
Well, the people who watch this show will know who grocery store Joe was.
Okay.
Kind of feel like he would be that character and be more popular on social media. Because of his humor, his witty sense of humor, and the flow. So I'm going to go there.
I don't know what I have a bigger problem with what you just said. Number one, just taking a shot at Chase McCabe and his looks. Or number two, saying that Jared could convince a woman that he is the right one. Like, what evidence do you have of that? My goodness.
Well, clearly not much evidence of that.
I mean, I'm going with Elijah here. I mean, I think we've totally overlooked it. Elijah's charming. He's very good. Does a great job when he fills in here on the producer of our show here on Robbie and Rex Road. Got a smooth voice that I think it's impossible to get mad at. He's very charming. Elijah, I think, is the runaway winner here.
I think he's – all right, so the nice, charming guy doesn't always win this contest.
It's because it's an evil show.
Well, it's fun to watch.
There you go. Wow. Joe Rex Road, which way are you going?
I mean, hey, we all have different answers. I'm going with Chase. I'm going with nice guys do not always have to finish last. I think Chase is a fine-looking man.
Yeah, it looks also, great. I don't know what Port's talking about.
Yeah. Flowing mane of hair. I don't know what you're talking about there, Porth. I think Stillman's BS would work to a point. But you're talking about winning the show. At some point, you know, like, look, oh, hey, look at my cameo video. Check it out. What do you think? I mean, that stuff works to a certain extent. Look at me working out on Instagram. Oh, my gosh, I did 3 push-ups. At some point, that runs out. Elijah would have a good chance. I think he would talk too much basketball. I think at some point, Elijah's basketball talk would probably wear on the young woman. So give me the nice guy, Maccababe.
So you don't feel like Chase's his looks are comparable to Trevor Lawrence?
Wow.
X is funny because I was just going to say, now I feel a little bit better about calling Trevor Lawrence ugly. So
he's kind of ugly,
thank
though.
You.
Still one of the greatest drops ever. All right, moving ahead to sports, Joe Rex Road.
All right. You know I love these football hypotheticals. So this is relevant to the NFL playoffs. You're up 4 in this fantasy Super Bowl. It's the last play of the game. You are defending the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson breaks from the pocket, is racing toward the end zone. You can pick one defender of all time to take him on in the open field one-on-one and tackle him and save the game for you. Who are you choosing?
Oh, man. That's a tough one.
DK Metcalf.
Nice. I mean, I guess he's counted as a defender before.
He could catch him from behind.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, Ryport, do you want to start? Where do you want to go with this?
I mean, this is kind of tough.
It is.
I'll just stick with DK Metcalf because he chased down somebody better than anybody that I've ever seen before this season on a pick by Russell Wilson, chased down Buda Baker. I'll go with DK Metcalf.
Like, I'm just trying to find a guy that speed-wise I think can handle this because, like, the obvious answer is to go, like, you know, trying to make an open field tackle to, like, Ray Lewis or somebody like that. Maybe Ed Reed. Maybe Ed Reed. Like, Deion's not a very good tackler, so I don't know if Deion Sanders would be my answer. Maybe Ed Reed.
What about Fabian Washington, who ran, like, the fastest 40 time for a corner and then was no good at corner?
Yeah, maybe Sean Taylor. Sean Taylor may be my answer.
Sean Taylor is not a bad pick. Ed Reed was my choice first, too. I thought about Deion. I mean, you can't have a Ray Lewis or somebody like that. Like, in the open field, you got to have speed. You got to have just a great tackler. But I'm going to go Troy Polamalu.
Okay.
We'll go with a Ravens rival as an open field tackler, just an elite all around safety. I think he'd have a shot. You know, it's got to be someone like that who just would have a shot. I mean, if it was chasing from behind, I agree with Metcalf, but this is, you know, it's him and you between the end zone. So give me Polamalu.
Let's go to our text line real quickly, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian in Portland texts in and says, Brian Dawkins all day would demolish Lamar Jackson. Demolish him, he says.
Wow. That's a good pick, but I don't know about demolish.
I think I'm sticking with Sean Taylor.
No, that's a good one. I like that one. All right, non-sports. If you could ban one person in the world from Twitter, who would it be?
Oh, man. One person in the world. I'm tempted to say Joe Rexroad, just for your own mental health.
That's not a bad idea.
Darren Revell.
Darren Revell? That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's good. He has some informative stuff, though. Like, he's annoying, but sometimes it's like, oh, wow, he has some interesting sports business stuff. But yeah,
is it interesting, though?
Well, some of it is.
Okay.
Oh, man. I think I might pick Jared for this. I really do. Like, watching him during Titans game, it's a lot of times it's funny, but sometimes it's just unbearable. So I think I might pick Jared Stillman. I love Jared a lot, but sometimes on Twitter he can be a little bit much.
No, he's my number two. Like, fire whoever, you know, after they give up a 30-yard kickoff return. He's my number two. I'm going to go with Magic Johnson. Here's a nice humble brag. No, Magic Johnson is a wonderful guy. Been lucky enough to interview him. He's one of the greatest players of all time, one of the nicest guys of all time.
You have his phone number on your phone?
I do not. I do not have that. But his Twitter account is utterly worthless. Like, it's like, hey, that was a really good football game, and I like pancakes.
Yeah.
Like he just tweets stuff like, hi, everybody, it's Tuesday. Yay, have a good day. I mean, it's just like Magic. Just stop tweeting. You say nothing on your Twitter account. Love Magic, but it's the worst account on Twitter.
I think that LeBron James is going to play very well tonight in this basketball game. Thank you, Magic.
Right.
We appreciate it. There are actually
what a win.
There are burner accounts out there about Magic Johnson and his Twitter account, just of how like obvious it is. So you know how there's like the Stephen A. Smith burner account that you'll see, and every time a sports thing happens, Stephen A. Smith's his burner account is like down in there with a response in video form of something Stephen A. has said before. It's very similar with Magic Johnson. Like, you'll have a Magic Johnson fake Twitter account that responds to every sports tweet with the most obvious basic answer of all time. It's very entertaining.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So they can stay. Magic's got to go.
Okay.
Okay, sports for the last one. You can only watch two of these sports for the rest of your life. You are done with the other four. you are done. You have two that you can choose.
Okay.
The NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football. Which two are you choosing?
Man, that's tough. Porth, you want to start?
I will choose NHL and NFL.
Okay.
It's easy for you?
Pretty easy because naturally my entire life hockey's been my favorite sport. So that is number one. And then I'm going to go with the NFL, and it could be recency bias, but the one sport from a viewership standpoint that I feel like hasn't been as affected as the other sports through the pandemic is the NFL.
Yeah.
There's something about Sundays with the game on or Red Zone, Titans game, whatever, that just sucks you in every single Sunday. That's for me with fantasy football and now with, you know, with sports betting. So I would go NFL and NHL.
See, this is difficult for me because I love the NBA. I love college football. And I think under normal circumstances, my answer would probably be college football and the NHL. But also my team is Tennessee. So I'm trying to balance how much I love college football and how much pain watching Tennessee football brings me. I still think I would probably go college football and the NHL being my two that I had to pick. But I will say the NFL, the NBA, I love them as well. This is very close. But my final answer is college football and the NHL. Joe, why did you do that to me?
I'm sorry. It's hard, man. It is hard. And, you know, I would hate the idea of not watching any of these, but I'm going to go NFL and college basketball. The NFL, to me, and it would have been probably the two college sports, but to me, college football is declining a little bit. It's becoming too predictable. The 14 playoff has hurt it. And I think the NFL, one thing I always loved about college football over the NFL was the creativity, the different kinds of offenses, you know, just the, not to mention the passion, all that stuff, but I always liked it a little bit better. But the NFL is copycatting college football and is becoming more creative and individualized, I think, between teams. And so I think it's more fun to watch right now. And then college basketball, you can't go without the NCAA tournament. It's the best, you know, it's the best event that sweeps up the entire country for a month. In this area alone, we got Belmont, Lipscomb, TSU, Austin Peay, Vanderbilt, Middle. Too much good stuff. Too many great programs. It would be hard to give up the other ones, but I got to go. I got to be able to fill my bracket out every year.
So what are you going to do without watching your Ohio State Buckeyes play football?
That's a good point. Well, they'll all be in the NFL. That's the good thing.
That's true.
All the Buckeyes go to the NFL, so I can smack little Buckeyes on my little helmet at home.
That's right.
And feel good about it.
You can watch Justin Fields play his way into the Hall of Fame.
That's right. Yeah, he can just be right in the NFL and see him when they get there. Good job, Joe Rexroth. Well done on this edition of The Choice Is Yours.
Thank you. And sorry, Chase McCabe. I did not realize this was going to be an attack on your wonderful looks.
That's something that Ryan Porth will have to answer for here shortly.
I don't think Chase McCabe is tailor-made for The Bachelor.
That's just, I mean, it's disrespectful.
I just don't.
Don't keep digging the hole. Disrespectful. When we come back.
Love you, Chase.
We will be joined by Predator Center Matt Duchesne. Looking forward to that conversation. Looking ahead to the season for the Preds. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroth live from the Wholesaling Studio powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.